Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
3-0 start, all positives. Could we have scripted the start of the season any better than what we've got it? Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. Yeah, we roll into the regular season. Three games in the books, three wins for the Calgary Flames. It doesn't get much better than that. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, and the other host, Kyle Lewis, will be joining us remote tonight from Ottawa, and we will talk to him a little bit later on in the show. The monkey's off the back. The opening night drought is over as Calgary beats the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche 5-3, and it is the first time since 2009. Yeah. 2009. That is absolutely astonishing and hard to believe. And first time. 12. That's a long time without winning an opening night game. And finally, that one's in the books. And game two went really good too. And game three, come from behind, win over Vegas. Yeah, things are looking pretty good. Blink 182 coming to Calgary in June. And if you guys listen to the Fan 960 as much as I do, you are going to go crazy. That's all we're hearing about is Blink 182. It's not till June. The reason I bring this up is not so much because of that, but come on, Flames, don't play the song that Colorado made famous for singing along, All the Small Things. Don't do that. Especially when Colorado comes to town, don't do that. We don't want to be thought of as copies. Oh, I hated that. When I heard it, I was like, what are we doing? Why are we playing this song? Oh, let's be a little bit more original, right? You know, another thing I was thinking this week is right before the season got going, I had thought, you know, I have zero stress when it comes to this team. I had a lot of stress when Gaudreau and Tkachuk left, but then Treliving relieved that stress by bringing in Huberto, Weir, Kadri, all these other, you know, key pieces. And so my stress level went down and my anticipation level went, you know, through the roof. And that's all I could think about was, you know, how's this team going to be? How's this team going to progress through the year? Are they going to gel? But my thoughts were all positive. Well, before the opening night against Colorado, I was thinking, what happens if we get off to a 2-8 start? They're going to be stressful. What happens if things don't go the way we want them to go in Calgary? And I forgot about how that anticipation and fun changes. And my family oftentimes says, my attitude's dictated by how the Flames did the night before. Now, I've tried to change that because family's more important than hockey. But it is true, and it does hold course that, you know, a lot of times our attitudes as diehard fans are altered by how this team's playing. And one blessing that we have is we're three games in and my attitude has actually gotten better because I think this team is even better than I anticipated. Now, I know, I'm not planning the parade. We're three games in. I'm a realist. You guys know if you watch the show. But, yeah, all systems go and things look very, very, very good in Calgary. Today on the show, we're going to recap these three wins, including a win against the Stanley Cup champs and a win against the pesky Oilers. And, yeah, we got lots of good things to talk about there. We'll roll into some Flames news, lots to go over there. And then Kyle Lewis will join the show remotely from Ottawa. Looking forward to having my partner on the show with us again tonight. And then we will jump into a conversation I had with Nate Thomas last night. Yeah, a regular that's on the show quite frequently, and always good catching up with Flames hockey with my buddy Nate. And then we'll wrap by previewing next week's games and all that good stuff. Lots of Calgary Flames hockey talk. Enjoy the show. Lots to recap. Thursday night, opening night for the Flames. Colorado, the Stanley Cup champs, come to town. And when all said and done, Calgary wins 5-3. But when Byram got on the board right away, Flames down 1-0. And then our buddy, you wouldn't have never guessed it. No, you would have never guessed it. The guy who scores the Flames' first goal of the year, yeah, Brett Ritchie. Fitting. He's been amazing, though. He has. And I give him all the credit in the world. He's been great. Other goals that night from Dubé, Anderson, Toffoli, Lindholm. Calgary scores 5 straight. Colorado gets 2 in a comeback effort in the third period. But all in all, I thought a very good opening night. I thought Markstrom maybe struggled just a tad. All in all, very good Toffoli with the game winner. And boy, isn't that good to see that Toffoli's, you know, putting the puck in the net. Shots 27-25 in favor of the Flames. Two nights later, we head up the road to, visit Edmonton and try to slay some of the demons of the playoffs last year. And it all started with a surprise Saturday morning, didn't it? A big surprise is Dan Vladar was named starter for that night. Now, many speculated it was because Markstrom was sick. I don't know. We won't know, and it doesn't really matter right now. Sutter said that his goal is to play. We have 26 weeks in the season. He wants Dan Vladar getting a start once a week, and this was Dan Vladar's start, and he comes right out and plays very, very well. Calgary outshoots Edmonton 42-29, scores 4 goals in the first period. Backlund gets on the board first. Cody Ceci scores right after that on kind of a weird, weird goal, and then 3 in a row from Michael Stone, Nazem Kadri on the power play, Andrew Mangiapane, and it's 4-1. Edmonton did add 2 in the second with McDavid and McLeod, 4-3 in the third, and the game finishes that way. The Flames did chase Jack Campbell in that game at the 10:18 mark of the first period. He allowed 4 goals on 11 shots, shades of Mike Smith. Stuart Skinner came in relief, and Stuart Skinner was very, very good. And I thought Vladar was solid the entire game. Very impressed with the play of Dan Vladar. Tuesday night, Markstrom back in net, Vegas in town, and a Vegas team that really don't know what to expect this year. Has a potential of being a very, very good team. Goaltending's definitely been a question. I think Logan Thompson answered that question on Tuesday night, as he had a very, very, very strong performance. Allowing 3 goals on 40 shots for the Flames. Flames did a good job defensively, only allowing 21 shots by the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas gets up 2-0 in this game, and I thought Calgary was really, really flat in the first period. And they go down 2-0, and Markstrom's first one was just a stinker. And I think he would say the exact same thing as me there, and I did not have good feelings on that. Calgary did get the power play going. Lindholm on the power play gets a goal. Toffoli on the power play gets a goal. Backlund adds the game winner at the 16:33 mark of the third period, and the Flames get another win, and that's 3 straight. And boy, you got to be loving it. And I think the biggest thing, and the reason that makes me so happy, is because I'm impressed on how we've been able to do this, and how every player has chipped in to allow this to happen. And when I go up and down the roster and I look at, I believe it's 9 different players have scored, and the, you know, it's just scoring throughout the whole roster, points throughout the whole roster, nobody playing subpar. I mean, could you be any happier to be a Flames fan? Lots of Flames news to go through. Daryl Sutter wins his 700th game. That happened in game 1 against Colorado. Alternate captains named Backlund, Huberdeau, Lindholm, and Tanev. Lindholm and Huberdeau will alternate wearing the A on their jersey all year. The PTO that we had, Sonny Milano, in camp, yeah, he did get a contract. Not with Calgary, of course. We all know that. But he did get a contract with the Washington Capitals, a 1-year $750,000 deal. He was placed on waivers right away, cleared waivers, and has been assigned to their AHL team, the Hershey Bears. I don't know, you know, Kyle and I talked about this quite a bit in the preseason episodes, and it surprised me maybe a little bit. Not a ton, though. But interesting signing. I'm sure they're just looking for a flyer. They're taking a chance, giving them $750 and looking for a flyer. We didn't really have that luxury because we already have a lot of NHL contracts, and quite honestly, he was a zero factor here and didn't even justify $750,000. Calgary Wranglers named their captains Brett Sutter named Captain Matthew Phillips, and Nick DeSimone, our alternate captains. Make sure we get out and watch the Wranglers and support the Wranglers. Great to have our AHL franchise in Calgary. And speaking of Calgary and the city of Calgary, arena updates came down today. Let's not get out above this a little bit, or not get overly excited about this, but progress in a positive direction as the city of Calgary and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Group have opened formal discussions on a new event center. And my belief is we wouldn't have got this report if things weren't moving in a positive direction. And that's definitely good news, is we so badly need an arena. It would help the city of Calgary so much, and would help the Flames team so much, and would bring, let's be honest, a ton of revenue into the city of Calgary. All right, Flames fans, Kyle Lewis is with us now. He's joining us remote from Ottawa. Kyle, not our traditional show, but this is good.
Not
this
at
is
all.
Gonna work. This is going to work. And I love the outfit, man.
Yeah, I'm a little bit overdressed, but it kind of feels nice, you know. You're so used to the day-to-day grind of whatever it is a person does, and it's like, you know what, we're going to step up our game for a few important meetings, and I get to show it off on YouTube, so that's kind of cool.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and, you know, we got a lot to talk about, and next week we'll be back to our normal show, and we'll have a lot to talk about next week, but we're off to a 3-0 start, Kyle, and I'm not saying I didn't see it coming, but I would have been happy if we were 2-1 at this point, and 3-0 is just, I'm super, super excited about the way things are going. What are your thoughts so far?
Based on the schedule, I would have probably predicted 1-1-1, because they're all, you know, all three games are tough outings, but last night, you know, watching the game from my hotel room here in Ottawa, it was a little concerning, especially that first goal on Markstrom. Like, the puck got deflected, but he should have had it, you know.
I kind of freaked out on that one, didn't you?
Well, big time. And even though we've already had a year and a half of Joe Sutter back as coach, I'm still thinking this team's going to cave. This team's not coming back. And sure enough, they did. They got it. The fourth line, I'm going to kind of get ahead of myself here, but the fourth line last night was fantastic. Drew four penalties for a line we were all worried about with Lucic, Rooney, and Richie. And they were fantastic. So after the first period, I'm like, it's going to be a loss. It's going to be a loss. I was convinced of it, and I was dead wrong.
See, I wasn't. I mean, I wasn't like, oh, we can win this for sure. But I was kind of more keep grinding, because I was not happy with the first period at all. And Markstrom's goal was crap. That was bad. But the way we came out in the second, I started to think, chip away at this one. Just chip away at this one. And that's really
what they, you're right. That's exactly what they did. I mean, Logan Thompson was great for Vegas. I mean, but when you look at the totality of the game, Calgary had a ton of shots. They stuck with it. The power play was, again, really strong. It's only three games. Don't want to get too excited. And you're already hearing, like, Keith Yandel in Sportsnet today, you know, Flames are the best chance. Canada has it a cup. And, like,
well, he's
I get why the – oh, yeah, I think he is too, but – you know, that's 7 out of 32 teams, right? So you don't want to get too excited, but the early returns are great, and guys like Huberto are just starting to kind of get going from the eye test, so it should only get better. But, man, 3-0, when's the last time we were 3-0, do you know?
I should have looked that up. I should know that, but I don't know that.
Well, and I don't either, but because we're so used to losing season openers.
Was it 09? Why does that stick in my head? Where did I hear that yesterday?
Well, 09 is the last time we won a season opener, so that would certainly lend itself to that, yeah.
Or maybe
it's been a while.
I heard it somewhere too. I guess it doesn't.
So look at it this way: we haven't won a season opener since 2009.
So it can't be.
So right away, exactly. It's been a long time since the team started 3-0.
Did we make
against three of those strong teams?
Did we make the? Yeah.
Nope. 2009, 2010, we didn't. 2008, 2009, we did. That was the year we lost to Chicago, but the following season they did not.
Yeah. I don't know. Any players that you're, I don't know, anybody you're disappointed in?
That's the thing. Disappointed me is
not. Everybody's playing their role, aren't they?
I think so. You see a lot of tweets about Trevor Lewis being kind of miscast in the third line. I don't disagree at all. He's a fourth line player at this point in the league, but still keeping his head above the water for the most part.
Don't you think he will be our fourth line winger at the end of when this is all said and done?
Oh, I have no doubt. Quite honestly, no doubt at all.
Because I think we'll pick up a winger at some point between now and trade deadline, and then that just shuffles the group down, right? The only thing is,
100%.
Richie's playing so good. How the heck do you take him out of the lineup? But that's for a conversation probably in February.
Hey. Hey, you know what? I'll be the first to say I was dead wrong about Brent Richie. I was the one that bemoaned the fact he got a contract prior to guys like Michael Stone. Yeah, you remember.
Hey, but you know what though? You've been nailing the Dylan Dubé thing.
He's been great. Yeah,
he's been great. He's been really, really good. And
that second line has been the best second line we've iced in. I'm not even sure how long, but it's been really, really good.
They've been the best line, don't you think?
Game in, game out, and that it's with Kadri. Kadri is just he drives play in the right direction. He's in the thick of everything. I mean, you saw the disallowed goal last night. Which when he was with Colorado, it's like, oh, that's not a goal, but with the Flames, like, oh, that should have been a goal.
I still think he was pushed though.
Like, I think so too.
I don't think he tried to help the matter. Maybe it would be the best term. Mm-hmm. But he still technically was pushed. I don't understand goalie interference. I never have understood it.
Hey, hang on, Brad. The NHL does understand goalie interference, so you get a pass on that one. You and I know, and everybody's the same boat that way.
It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, to your point, by far the best line so far. Toffoli's looked better than I anticipated on the top line. Huberto, he's making brilliant passes. The guys just haven't really started to bury them just yet. But that second line, game in, game out, play in the right direction, drive in the net, like, they've been fantastic. For years, we didn't really have a really strong second line. Backlund was kind of maybe playing over his head a bit.
We pretended like we did.
Yeah, absolutely.
For
stretches, it looked like we did, yeah.
One guy that's kind of surprised me a little bit that's probably fit the role, and I know some people will probably tweet me and tell me I'm crazy on this, but I think Toffoli's been fine, don't you?
As I said, I'm still not convinced he's the solution on the top line, but time will tell. But I mean, he's buried a couple of chances so far, and it doesn't look out of place by any stretch.
The only guy that's bugging me a little bit that I'm a little bit worried about is Markstrom. But you know what?
You know what though?
Goalies go through ebbs and flows, though they do.
That's the nature of the position.
He's going to be fine. I mean, I'm not – by no means am I losing sleep over Markstrom's play right now, but he
would
be –
No, but Daryl Sutter also kind of said what you and I had alluded to in a prior conversation that, hopefully Vladar gets more starts, and it sounds like he's going to. They're saying all the right things, and sure enough, he was great to the night.
What did you think of that on Saturday night when Vladar got the start, and then it came out that Daryl wants to play him once a week? Were you just like – what were you thinking, Kyle?
Well, I think playing him once a week is a smart strategy, but I really think he used that strategy to downplay the fact that he wanted to give Vladar the start against the Oilers instead of Markstrom. Because whether you love it or you hate it, like as an Oilers fan or a Flames fan, I don't think you can debate that the Oilers have gotten to Markstrom in the last, in the playoffs, certainly, and prior to that. So it made sense, and I think Sutter did a really good job explaining why he did it, but I think the reality was this is the Oilers. We'll play Markstrom later in the season. We'll give Vladar this one.
The only reason I wanted Markstrom is I was hoping that they'd throw him in, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show, about let's get the monkey off the back early,
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Which would have been fine, too, but I think, playing a strong, strong opponent like Colorado, second game throwing Vladar in there, I mean, it shows confidence in your backup, gives Markstrom a little bit of a break. Like I don't think there was a wrong play there, and obviously, paid off with 2 points.
It'd have been deadly if we'd have put him in and lost, though, too, So.
Exactly. So you got to kind of hedge your bets there. But if Sutter's true to his word, it's exactly what you and I talked about, a few times now. Like, give Vladar a few more starts. If it's once a week, fantastic. I mean, all it can do is benefit the team.
Do you think Markstrom was a little bit more sick than was let on, though, too?
I think they always are, right? I mean, a team, regular season or playoffs, never will say too much about an injury and illness, right?
I think Hanifin's sick now. He hasn't practiced the last 2 days, 3 days, and played last night. But usually when a guy's not practicing, something's up.
Well, you could say the same for Rick Ball and Kelly Rudy, because last night's broadcast, we had Hanrahan Singh and Peter Laverdius, who, you know, did Flames color, what, 10 years ago now, probably? Yeah. So maybe it's a COVID thing. Maybe it's just a cold or flu, but there's something going around that, going on the team.
We all get sick, right? It'd be a cold.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
I wonder, about, how this team will respond to like Buffalo now. Cause like, if you pick up the schedule, you're going to look and be like, okay, that might be the first, I don't want to say easy game, but not top of the list intense game, right? And yeah. Does this team back off, or does that win by Buffalo and Edmonton last night change that and you know, make sure this team is ready, I guess?
Well, I think that's where the coach's job is especially important, to get the team ready for that seemingly lesser opponent. Buffalo still got some really skilled forwards. And as we saw again with Arizona beating Toronto tonight, like, there's no easy 2 points in this league, which is kind of cliche, but it's fact. I would anticipate a little bit of a letdown tomorrow. It doesn't mean it's going to be a loss necessarily, but that's, you know, Buffalo's got a lot to prove.
I'm interested to see like how long before we see Mackey or Rzyzka in there, like, and not that I feel like they want to mess with these lines right now at all, but like, how long can they have them sitting without getting a game? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's going to be similar to a goaltending situation where it's like a back-to-back where Mackey draws in for, well, it could be Hanifin tomorrow night. If Hanifin's not, you know, feeling well, as you suggest, it could be the case. Rzyzka, same kind of thing. Like, the problem to me is like the team's winning. So yeah. As you just said, the coach isn't going to mess with that. Even if a certain line didn't play particularly well, the team is still winning, still getting results. So I wouldn't have a problem with sitting, you know, Trevor Lewis for a game so Rzyzka could get some reps. Or Mackey, I mean, he's a everyday NHLer if he's given the opportunity, from what I've seen in training camp and his prior pro experience. So, again, I think a back-to-back is when those guys slide in, unless there's an illness or an injury.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think they got to get in eventually, and I don't know. I mean, what game this week is Vladar going to get?
Great question. It could be tomorrow night. Who knows? Sometime record tonight.
Because you got Pittsburgh coming up, and you got Carolina. Carolina on Saturday, Pittsburgh on Tuesday. Those are big time opponents. So
very strong teams. But as we've said before, Vladar played really, really well against the strongest teams in the league last year. So you got to believe he gets one of those starts.
I think so. I hope so. Don't you?
He's a great goaltender. When has Dan Vladar had a bad game in a Flames jersey? Can you think of one? Because I can't.
I don't. Actually, I think there might have been one late in the year last year that was kind of maybe a stinker. I know. Wasn't there one against Dallas or something that pissed Sutter off because then he didn't play forever? There was one, wasn't there? Because I remember talk last year towards the latter part of the year where we're like, well, Sutter doesn't have faith in Vladar now because of that outing. Yeah. And I don't know.
I think you're right, but I can't remember any specifics about it. I mean, for a guy that, when he had 12 wins or something last year, like, he played well all season, and it was late in the year that the seeding was more or less determined from what I vaguely recall. Like, it wasn't really a big deal. He never cost the team an important game that I can think of, right?
Uh-uh. I was thinking I wanted to, this is another thing I wanted to talk to you about. I was going to text you. What's your thoughts on the struggles in Vancouver right now?
Oh, man. That's a tough team to figure out because they do have a fair amount of talent. But the lack of composure, like to set that NHL record with multi-goal leads in each of the first three games.
Yeah, and no one in the history of hockey has done it in four games like they accomplished last night.
Accomplished. But I don't know. Like, to me, like, it's really, really early. So, like, the same thing about Toronto. Fans are freaking out, you know, booing the team. It's similar in Edmonton, actually. You don't want to overreact. But if your first 10 games are a team that's 2-8 or 3-7-1 or whatever it's going to be, it's like, you got to start to think, like, okay, there's some guys that have some value. Do we go into a proper rebuild? Because I think Vancouver's in that awkward spot where it's like, they're not a great team, but they had pieces enough to grab a playoff spot, one would think. But blowing leads like that, like, makes you wonder.
We know the spot. We were in it for a decade.
Was it only a decade? It felt longer.
Well, but probably, yeah, technically it probably was a decade. I don't know. It just, yeah, they're in that mucky middle. And I don't know. I watched them last night, and I watched them. I have a tendency to watch a lot of the Pacific more just because of Calgary. And
yeah.
I find the last few nights when I was watching them, I'm like, oh, man. I can just feel it slipping away, and I'm just like, I got a bunch of friends that are Canucks fans. So it was like, here they go. The slide is starting.
Well, they're getting kind of desperate already because was it last night they scratched Connor Garland?
Yeah, last night.
So, yeah, so you take one of your more skilled forwards and scratch him that early in the season. Like, that, to me, is a desperate move because that's the kind of guy that's going to score you a goal on the power play to, you know, keep you in a tight game. Like, to me, I didn't agree with that at all. But you could tell by the post-game presser, like, Bruce Boudreau is, like, he's scrambling for answers already. So, between, you know, how strong the Flames have been, how good of players the others have and how good they can be, the Kings being up and coming, like we talked about, like, Vancouver – early return said they're going to be outside looking in, and so is the trade deadline. We'll see, but that's the way it looks right now.
Yeah, I think you know, Vegas is probably a little bit better than what we gave them credit for to a couple weeks ago. But all in all, I mean, it looks like an Edmonton-Calgary race so far. But I guess a lot has to be determined, and it'll just going to be a lot of fun watching it. So.
100%.
Looking forward to this week's games, and I know, talk to us a little bit about tomorrow night, your plans. I know you get to go watch a fun and exciting Ottawa Senators team.
Yeah, so Ottawa play Washington tomorrow night, so we've got some seats for that with the Home Builders Association that I sit on, so I'm really looking forward to that. Actually, I don't know if you'd heard, but last night against the Bruins was Ottawa's first sellout, and it was six years.
Really?
106% capacity at the Canadian Tire Center. Like, that is fantastic. Because you got to remember, too, if you've ever been to Ottawa, the arena's way outside the city. Obviously, without getting too much detail, there's a lot of issues with Eugene Melnyk's tenure as owner. A lot of alienated fans in Ottawa. So, a sellout against the Bruins, big 2 points. Ovechkin in town tomorrow night. If it's not sold out, it should be damn close. So, it should be a lot of fun. And I don't get to see, you know, it's funny, for a guy that lives in the East Coast, I don't get to see a lot of Eastern Conference games because I'm just not inclined to, like I am obviously with Calgary. So
yeah,
it'd be good to take that in.
You know, there's a couple teams out east this year that I really want to watch, and Ottawa is one of them. And I'm going to be tuning into that game tomorrow night also, as I won't have the luxury of being there like you, but you know, I'm gonna make sure I watch it because Ottawa is an exciting team and one of the teams on my list this year that I got to pay a little bit more attention to because. They're going to be good. So,
absolutely. Well, a lot of good young talent. They signed some, like, Claude Giroux, Cam Talbot. They made what I felt all the right moves in the summer. Very similar to the Flames. I mean, you could make an argument that Ottawa had the best offseason of any team, and there's a lot of merit in that.
Yeah, I think Calgary and Ottawa were the most, definitely the most movement. So, we'll see.
Absolutely, yep.
What movement pays off. And so far, man, could you write a script any better than the way this is going so far?
Realistically, no. I mean, there's always little things you can nitpick on, but the power play has been really, really good. And 3-0 again against strong teams. Now, as you alluded to, we talked about Vegas maybe not being as strong. That was mostly because of goaltending. Logan Thompson's been really good for them. So
he's good.
Yeah, really good. I wouldn't have, like I said, I wouldn't have picked a 3-0 start. I think it's great. I think the team's for real, and I think their best players are just starting to hit the groove, like Kadri, Huberto. I wanted to talk to you about this, Brad. I mean, what are your thoughts on Mackenzie Weegar so far?
As advertised, right? I mean, I think he's – you know what I like about him? I know I've used this term in our conversations on the pod before with describing Stone as having that calming factor on the blue line. I feel that same feeling with Weegar. I don't know. He's a calming factor. I feel it with Tanev too. Although I mean, Tanev's hard to – I mean, how do you ever criticize Tanev? He works so hard and does so many things good. But Uyghur's just – I mean, he's everything that I've I hope people are happy with him. I don't know what else he could do to – over. I mean
– Well, the reason for my question was Eric Francis' comments since today or yesterday saying that, you know, Uyghur's been, you know, just fine or whatever. It's like, just fine. What the hell more do you want from the guy? He's got a couple of assists. He's driving play. He's in the face of the opposition. He's been fantastic.
You know what pisses me off about judging defensemen a lot?
Please continue.
this hockey world has lost their mind in judging defensemen. We judge it off, or some people, not me, judge it off points and points only. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute, they're playing in defense. We understand what that means. That means keeping the puck out of the net. And he's done all of that, and he has points, too.
I feel like I mentioned this before, but the best example of what you're saying, in my mind, 2003, I think it was, Barrett Jackman won the Calder Trophy as the best rookie. Barrett Jackman had like 3 goals and maybe 15 assists, but he was a rock on his own end. And to me, that's the last time the league, on a large scale, recognized that's a hell of a good defenseman in the best sense of the word. So I agree completely with your point because so many guys win the Norris because they had 70, 80 points. Will they defend while they're in? Not necessarily.
Mort Sider, would you say that a little bit maybe last year? Pretty good defense.
Yeah. Oh, Mort Sider's a very complete player.
He might be the closest one to Barrett Jackman.
No doubt. He's a fantastic all-around player. Yeah. But generally speaking, to your point, they just don't get enough credit to guys that do so many things well defensively. And defensively also means like a transition game. Mackenzie Uyghur makes a great first pass. He rarely gets stuck. He's great along the boards. Like I ask you this because I was kind of pissed off when I read those comments. Like, what do you want the guy to do? Get a hat trick in each of the first 3 games? Like, what are you expecting?
I can't find anybody in our back end that I'm not happy with this year. Uyghur's done everything. I just mentioned that. Tanev's been solid. Anderson, Stone's done what we've expected. I mean, I don't know. Maybe is it Hanifin the only one that hasn't excelled, but he's been good. I think he's been good. I don't even – how do you criticize this? How do you criticize this lineup so far?
You don't. There's always tweaks you could make or things you do a little bit better. But, I mean, like, again, what else do you want? And to your point about Hanifin, haven't really noticed him. Is there a much bigger compliment you can pay to a defenseman the fact that I haven't really noticed him? No flagrant giveaways, no getting beat along the boards. Like, he's been good. But everybody else has racked up a few points, so they look a little bit better. Michael Stone being one of them. Anderson, as you said, weaker. Like, Zadorov's been pretty good. Zadorov, I mean, if Hanifin doesn't play tomorrow, could play an elevated role. Maybe he doesn't fare as well in that role, but so far, so good.
Did you see that rush from Zadorov last night? I chuckled. I knew you would kick out of it, too.
Yeah, I got to kick it out, too.
I'm like, oh, man, if he can bury this somehow, this is going to be cool.
If only.
Oh, man. Well, Kyle, I will let you get back to your fun evening. Hopefully you can go out and have a couple of drinks tonight and relax and enjoy a nice night in Ottawa, which is really a cool city to go to. I hope you have fun and enjoy the game tomorrow night. And you know what? Having you be able to squeeze in time is really great tonight because I don't know what the show's not. I mean, I'm so used to having you here every week now. I was going to be lost tonight. So,
it's the same for me. Like, you know, telling people in my meetings here, like, listen, you know, I'll join you afterwards. I got to head upstairs for a little bit to join the show that I'm proud and very happy to go alongside you. It's part of my routine, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Perfect. It's been fun. We're back normal next week, so let's get ready for that. And have a good evening. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, Kyle.
All right. Much appreciated. I'll be checking in from Canadian Tire Center tomorrow night.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he is a regular to the show. Nate Thomas joins us again. Good to have you with us.
It's always good to be back, Brad.
You can care. If you haven't seen previous episodes of Nate's on, he runs the Quack Report for the Hockey Podcast Network. Yes, I know it's Anaheim Ducks, but he is a huge, huge Calgary Flames fan. So Nate always he's always great about coming on the show and giving his two cents about the Flames. And sometimes we agree, and oftentimes we disagree, which is actually one of the things that makes it really cool to have him on the show.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. I mean, it is nice when we do agree, but it does make for good conversation for sure. So,
but you know, with the team being so different now, and you haven't been on since I think an early summer episode.
Yeah, I had to take a look at it today, actually. The episode that I was last on aired, it was 2 days before, it was July, or June 30th, I think.
Okay.
So it was like right before free agency.
Yeah, so like we have a whole new team.
Yeah.
we may agree on a whole bunch of things now.
Yeah, we might. There's one particular guy that we disagreed on for a while that he's, spoiler alert, he's in Columbus now. So.
Yeah, I'm not really cheering for him, but tonight was kind of fun to watch him, beat the, Vancouver Canucks single-handedly. So.
Yeah, a little bit. That was a great individual effort by him there. So.
Oh, they gotta have that though. That
they do, yeah.
Oh, and the Canucks are a train wreck right now.
Somebody took two screen grabs of it was around would have been Martin's like right side at the circle, and then when Johnny was putting the puck in the net, and the caption was just like, "Where did everyone go?" Because you see like three or four players in front of him, and then just suddenly nobody is there. So,
I have a lot of Vancouver Canucks friends, and a lot of Vancouver Canucks fans are friends of mine. I better learn how to talk here tonight. And they're just, yeah, it's a lot of fun for me. But I got to be careful because, you know, you don't want to get give them too much crap because it comes back to haunt you some days. So I got to take it easy now. I've been a little rough on the Canucks guys. So
if it makes your Canucks friends feel any better, my hot take on them was that they were going to place third in the Pacific this year. So
wow,
we'll kind of soften the blow a little bit there, but they're not helping that prediction so far. So
well, let's talk about the Pacific and to give everybody a little bit of an idea when we are recording this. We're recording this on Tuesday night, right after the Flames-Vegas game, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But you mentioned the Pacific, and you mentioned your predictions, and I always love getting your take on how you think the season's going to go. Where did you have the Pacific in your predictions? Where did you have it kind of stacking out?
If I remember off the top of my head, it was Calgary first, and of course my co-host Carter disagreed with that. He had Calgary second because he's an Oilers fan. So, yeah, again, Flames and Oilers fans doing a Ducks podcast, it's a very interesting combination. So we had them kind of split one and two. Like I said, I had Vancouver in third, was kind of one of my hot picks for predictions this year. I had Vegas just behind. I still feel like they could easily make the playoffs, whether that is a wild card spot or in the top three in the division there. The question for me was just their goaltending, but I mean, if Logan Thompson plays the way that he did against Calgary tonight for a good chunk of the season, man, they're gonna run away with it, and it'll be another goalie carousel in Vegas, I think. Then I think I had LA right behind in fifth, Anaheim in sixth, Seattle seventh, San Jose eighth is what I had.
I was really interested to see where you had Calgary because I had Calgary second too. Obviously, I think they're gonna have a great year. I didn't know. So much for my theory when I did the predictions of, well, it may take him a little while to gel.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, but
I just throw that out the window right now because I like the way things are looking so far.
Yeah.
Last time we talked, you mentioned it was back in late June. And since then, Gaudreau is gone. Monahan was traded. Kadri is signed. Huberto and Kachuk goes, Huberto and Uyghur. I mean, it's a much changed roster. Mm-hmm. What was your anticipation level late in the summer as we were getting ready for camp and through training camp for this team? What was your gut telling you?
The gut's telling me to be excited, I guess, for this coming season, but. And I mean, it almost feels cliche, but like something about like this off season, like going into this season, something just felt different. It's a different type of excitement, right, compared to the normal, oh, hey, there's a new season around the corner. Looks like we have a solid team. Just something feels different. And I don't know if it was some of the player interviews we had during the summer of guys like Huberto and Uyghur and Kadri especially, right? And even with Kadri's day with the cup race, it's a Colorado victory, but he's talking about doing it again in Calgary, and he'll be back next summer kind of thing. And just kind of there was a different kind of hype around the team going into this year. So
it was a different feeling, and I can't really put my finger on it either. I felt a calm excitement, if that makes
sense. Yeah.
But I did think that, like, training camp took – our preseason this year took forever, it felt like to me.
Yes, it definitely did.
Just because my anticipation has not been this high since maybe in the early 90s, which I was let down terribly in a couple of game sevens. We don't need to reminisce about that. But I felt like a calm excitement this year and a confidence too. And I looked at the roster and it looked amazing on paper. I prayed it would correlate onto the ice, but yeah, so far so good. I mean, we're sitting 3-0 and we've beaten the Stanley Cup champs, the Western Conference finalist, and a Vegas team that this Flames team, quite honestly, has had fits with since Vegas came into the league.
Yeah, 100%. I guess for Vegas, you could just call them a healthy team, right? Because look at the way that they ended last year, or just were for a good chunk of last season, right? With guys in and out of the lineup and still somehow getting up to the cap and whatnot. So really like I was kind of talking about before, the only on paper area that seemed to be kind of a weakness was their goaltending. But if it holds up the way that it has for the first few games for them, because Vegas lost the game, but Logan Thompson stood on his head, right? Sure. And especially against Tyler Toffoli, that man is going to have nightmares about this kid for the next little while until they play again, I'm sure, even though Toffoli did manage to get one. It was kind of a weight off his shoulders even just for that night.
Yeah, no, Logan Thompson was amazing tonight, and it was fun to watch him, and I feel like he's kind of, you know, with all the turmoil that Vegas has had, and most of it self-inflicted, and then with the goaltending injury / who knows what's going on, and Logan Thompson, the young ex-Brandon Wheat King, just thrown into the mix of, I'm starting now, and he's been good, and I'm cheering for him, not against the Flames, but I'm cheering for him personally just because I feel like he's been put on an island almost.
Yeah, and it's not the first time, I guess, that Vegas has taken a really young, junior age goalie, basically, and thrown him into the limelight. Vegas had to do that with Dylan Ferguson, sorry, in their first season when they had to bring him up from the Kamloops Blazers because it was Fleury was gone, and then Malcolm Subban, Oscar Dansk, and then I think there was one or two more goalies before they really went down into the barrel of the goaltending depth there that season.
Yeah, I wonder where he's at now.
Dylan Ferguson is in Toronto, I think.
Is he?
Okay. Yeah, he's in there.
Well, he's had a good time in Toronto this year.
Yeah, he very well might. Yeah, Matt Murray getting hurt pretty early on in the season, so.
So we're three games in with three wins, and what were your thoughts quickly, I guess, on each of the game rundown-wise on the wins, and then I want to get into some individual player talks. But Colorado, what was your thoughts in game one against the defending champs?
Keeping in mind that Colorado did play a game in Colorado the night before, had their Stanley Cup celebration night and everything like that. They were in the travel. They did also play the Chicago Blackhawks. I did watch a little bit of that game, and obviously Colorado just had their way with Chicago for that game. Yeah, especially. So besides the travel, seemed like they should be fairly rested, I guess. And this Calgary team kept up with them and kind of sat them down in areas as well. And it just, it looked really promising. And yeah, first home season winner since 2009. I was talking with a friend about it today, of just like that stat alone. And I was like, okay, put it into perspective. I think Mika Kiprusoff was still 3 seasons away from retiring. I think Jerome McGinley was still a couple seasons away from becoming a Pittsburgh Penguin. Wow. And John Tavares was just drafted as the first overall pick to the Islanders. I was like, you just kind of put in that context, like just how long ago that was. Ooh. And yeah, it's been a while. So I was like, I think I was 12 years old. I think I was in grade 6 at the time. And career student here. I'm in my 8th year of university now. So.
Oh, man. I don't even to think back like that, it's crazy that an organization can go that long. Just law of averages would think that something would break their way one of the nights, but
yeah,
it didn't. But now we can throw that record into the trash and move on. Saturday night, Battle of Alberta. I, again, much like coming into the season, I had a different feeling that night during that game, even though it started off with a goal fest to start off. I was like, oh geez, here we go again. But all in all, I thought a pretty good night in Edmonton.
Yeah, I think so as well. And Toronto fans definitely had some jokes for Edmonton fans. It's only two games into the season for Jack Campbell. Let's give him a little bit of time there too, right? New system and everything like that. But Stuart Skinner, though, like I've watched that kid in juniors. Well, actually, I don't even know if I can call him kid. I think he's a year older than me. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, like I watched him in junior as well, and you could just tell that he was going to be something special. And you could see how last season was, the games that he got, like arguably being actually one of Edmonton's best goalies before the playoffs. And he looks to be continuing it into this season as well. He definitely, once he came into the game, gave Calgary a bit of a run for their money. I believe he ended the night with a +2 goal save above expected just for the night alone, which is fantastic. We've kind of talked about it. Just this Flames team is composed differently now, right? And there's, for some of these guys like Kadri, yeah, there's some history there, but then you also have guys like Huberto and Uyghur who, they're not blinded by the history, I guess, in a way, if that makes sense. It hasn't gotten to them yet, so they can just play their game and that sort of thing. And how this team is structured right now, it works really well. And I'm sure that at some point, because I know Brad's still hunting for it, we'll have another winger join the fold at some point. But how the team's constructed, at least through the first 3 games, it's looking really good. And it looks to be able to hopefully be able to handle an Edmonton team. And we'll get to see it again in, a week and a half? On the 28th or 29th. So
yeah, next Saturday. So
yeah,
it's going to be here before you know it. Dan Vladar gets the start Saturday night on a surprise decision in my mind. What were your thoughts? Were you surprised when he got the nod Saturday night?
I actually wasn't, because Dan Vladar just it's a weird thing sometimes with goalies, and I can say that because I am one of them as well. Sometimes it doesn't matter who is on, like who is in the jersey itself. Sometimes just a specific jersey, specific logo, in this case the Edmonton Oilers, just has someone's number. And unfortunately for us, being division or provincial rivals, it seems to be the Edmonton Oilers for Jacob Markstrom. But and that goes back to his days in Florida and Vancouver as well. Statistically, he's never played great against them. But Dan Vladar, on the other hand, seems to be the antithesis of that, where Vladar has the Oilers number for whatever reason. And I know Oilers fans were kind of throwing the jokes of like, oh, like we scared Markstrom away kind of thing. And it's like, no, we just brought up the guy that we know will shut you down at this point. So, and then we can rely on Markstrom for the rest of it.
And I didn't disagree with that. And I am a huge Dan Vladar fan, but my only pushback on that is like, is it now the time to rid the Edmonton Oilers demons for Markstrom and hopefully get a couple wins and get some confidence under his belt so that when we do, because I do feel we'll meet him again in the playoffs this year, be able to go in with kind of our hands washed of that crazy scenario.
I can see the side for yes, but I can also see the side of no. If you play Vladar again in a week and a half there against Edmonton, you can almost get into their heads, I think, a little bit. And then you play Edmonton one more time. I forget when the third game is. I think it's in December at some point.
Yeah,
yeah, that's when you, I think you can play Markstrom. Everyone's kind of a little worn at that point and whatnot. And you're in Edmonton's head, I think, at that point. Give Markstrom the start. And then you have some time as well. Because
it goes well.
You don't want Edmonton to have direct eyes on him as much, I don't think. And that's almost the one saving grace of there only being three Battle of Albertas this year before the playoffs.
Let's talk a little bit about players that you've liked and just – now, I get it. We're only talking of a three-game segment here, but we can talk a little bit about – you know, we can take a little bit of how the preseason went into it too. But so far, who are some of the players you're liking and who are some of the players in the team that you haven't been all that happy with so far?
I don't really know, actually, if there's – yeah, you'd let me know before of like, oh, we're going to talk about like things and players that we do and don't like. And to be honest, my notes right now, mind you, they were pretty quick. I don't have anything that sticks out to me as like a negative. Everyone's kind of playing into specific roles that really work. Like the big thing for me going into this preseason and like seeing the different combinations of lines that you could throw – this is now a Daryl Sutter team, 110%, right? Yes. Last year's team was like a mix of whatever coaches came before at that point. But so I guess for a couple specific players, as excited as I was about Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar was a massive selling point for me on that trade even, and also then to have him extended is fantastic. He's a fantastic transitional defenseman, but plays in his own end, obviously, really well. And he's been fantastic the first three games as well. He got an assist, at least an assist tonight as well. My stream of the game is unfortunately like just a little bit behind my uncle on cable. And so he'll message me and it's about like a 5 second delay from when I get a message to whatever happening on my screen. And so he said something that would have been like related to a goal. And I saw Weegar wind up and slap it and like just miss the top corner kind of thing. Like he's got an eye for that net still, but Weegar is kind of the closest thing to like a two-way defenseman, I guess, that you can have, like an all-around 200-foot guy. So
I've been really impressed with Weegar so far, and you know, I was kind of a loaded question that I gave you, and I'm trying to name somebody that's not playing as well as we want them to. And I looked at the defense and I couldn't find anybody. I looked at the forward lines and I'm like, oh, everybody's filling the role that we expect from them. So far, I have no disappointment. I know some people are on Jonathan Huberdeau, but like I think he's been amazing. I think he's passing the puck great, and I think everything has been very, very good in that category. So I'm a little surprised that he's getting some flack. But as far as I don't know, I've been really happy with him. As far as the guy that I've been a little bit concerned with his play, the only one I could really maybe point to would be Jacob Markstrom, just because he's looked a little awkward this year. Is it just me? Maybe am I just being overly critical? But has he looked awkward this year? Because I feel like he is.
It's not just you that's being critical. I was definitely seeing a lot of it after the two goals that Vegas scored. And yeah, the first one, you know, he wants to have that one back even, right? That's just kind of a weird flutter that kind of almost turned on him in a way. And the second one is a rush tip in front, right? It would be miraculous for him to save that, right?
He had a weak one against Colorado too, and
yeah.
I feel like he's and I'm not a goalie, so I don't know how I'm throwing out goalie advice here, but it seems like he's deeper in his net this year so far. And he had times last year where he would get deeper in his net and struggle for a couple games, and then
kind of push out again.
Work out of it, and then he'd be stellar for, you know, weeks at a time. And then he'd have a struggle point, and even guys in Sportsnet were pointing out that he was deeper in his net. And this year, I feel like both the Colorado game and tonight, there was situations and instances that I was like, "Wow, you know, push forward here a little bit." You know, he just seemed—I don't want to say a step behind, but just not on his game and 100% crisp.
Yeah, no, and I do understand what you mean. Part of me is wondering if it is, like, yes, he's definitely had some time with Sutter, but it's not the kind of time that, say, a guy like Mika Kiprusoff would have had with him, where Daryl Sutter hockey, we know, can be very defensive, and it's very limiting, right? Even look at tonight's game against a high offense Vegas Golden Knights. They had 20 shots against him. Over 60 minutes, right? That's not a whole lot of shots, realistically, actually, compared to your normal games. So
30 a game, 28 to 30 is an average.
Yeah, so it might even just be because we knew when we had acquired him even that Jacob Markstrom likes shots, right? Yep. So and while he's definitely made a lot better of a transition into a Sutter system, it might be like just that 1% off that we're just kind of still seeing right now. You get into the groove of the regular season fully, right? Because he's played two games out of the three now.
Yeah,
and the preseason is different hockey compared to the regular season, right? So I think you give him one or two more games, this isn't even a conversation, I don't think. So
no,
I will say, yeah, people on Twitter, let's pump the brakes here for a second here.
And I'm not in panic mode or anything.
No.
Believe me, I'm not. I don't think there's a goalie in the NHL that doesn't go through ebbs and flows through a season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he did it. He had it last year, and he was a Vezina candidate. So I'm not at all worried. I just – there's been a couple situations where I've been like, oof, that's not real Markstrom-like. So that being said, you know, it's pretty good when we named guys that are, you know – that are disappointing us a little bit three games in, and me and you really can't find one. So
yeah,
I don't know. I guess I don't know that we could have scripted it to start any better than it has.
Yeah, I really don't think so. One more thing that I want to point out, because this is the one area that I was being skeptical of going into the season, and that's that fourth line. But it has done really well, actually. That's a case where I am A-okay with being proven wrong. If that line continues to play how they have been of Lucic, Rooney, and Richie, I am A-okay with that.
I got into an argument with a friend of mine yesterday on this topic, and I maybe got my mouth running maybe a little bit more than I should have, but I told him that by the end of the year, this will be looked at league-wide as the number one fourth line in hockey.
Not with those words, but you're not the first person I've actually heard that argument out of. I was talking with somebody, and they were saying, like, oh, this line's going to put up 20, 25 goals. I was like,
They're going to be complete shutdown, and they are going to beat the living hell out of defensemen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100% I agree with that.
Help so much in a long playoff run. And even, you know, even if we gain another right winger, which we're, you know, thinking way, way ahead here, but, you know, so that shifts Lewis down to the right side on the fourth line. Okay, that's still great.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I don't know. I love the way it's sitting right now, the way the depth charts are looking. And I think this fourth line's really going to be a force down the stretch.
Yeah, 100%. And just because you brought up, you know, guys kind of moving in the lineup, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the back end when Oliver Shillington comes back, I think. Because that six of, especially with the bottom there, Zadorov and Stone, right?
You can't even put him in the lineup right now.
yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens here. So,
and I know, I mean, none of us know what the situation is, and in regards, we wish him the best.
Yeah, absolutely. But
part of me, it is dead silent. I don't know. I mean, would you be shocked if he wasn't on the team this year?
I don't really know if I can.
Yeah, I don't even know. We have no idea.
If he were to come back today, but the six plays how they have been, no, I wouldn't be. That would be a waste of cap, but besides the point. But just for like the actual like on-ice play and how those six have performed, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that, actually.
I mean, I hope he comes back, and I hope he's healthy, and I hope all's well with him and in his situation. But and by no means do I not want him back, but because I don't think you can have enough solid, good defensemen for a stretch run. And we all know that, and I've said it about 800 trillion times on this show, that Michael Stone's the guy that you set at seventh guy, and he comes in every 10th game and looks like he just didn't skip a beat. So this is built exactly the way we want it. I just, based off the silence on the Shillington thing, kind of wonder sometimes, is this more long-term than we all believe it to be? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Possible to know. But, yeah, I mean, that's a great problem to have, where we're sitting here looking at a guy that we all had the biggest, highest praise for last year, and we're sitting here going, oh, I'd like to see him come back, but the way things are right now, you know.
It's okay.
And injuries are going to happen too, so we can't be naive to that either. There's definitely going to be some, you know, we're going to need the depth that we have, and I feel real comfortable with our depth.
Yeah, we got extremely lucky, I think, on the injury front last year. You know, like really having the injuries unfortunately hit during the playoffs, right? But being able to stay as healthy as we did during the regular season, I would be very surprised if we do back to back with that type of luck.
I don't think it's even mathematically possible.
No.
Yeah. I looked at the man games loss last year, and then when you looked at the man games loss and you looked at what games were lost by what players, it's like we couldn't even have – there's no way. If we'd have scripted out at the beginning of the year, everybody would have been like, nope, that's not happening. You know, it's you're wishing on a dream. But so far, so good. 3-0. I couldn't be happier, and it was fun having you on the show again to discuss this, and I'd like to have you on again soon. And I don't know where do you see the next couple weeks going for the Flames in this homestand? What's gonna make it a success?
I mean, besides the obvious of just winning as many games as possible, I guess.
Is 5 out of 8, 6 out of 8, 5 out of 8? Is that what we're shooting for?
Yeah. That sounds like success to me, I think.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. It'll be interesting, but things are rolling really well.
Yeah, I know Daryl likes to just look, you know, one game at a time. Coming up next is Buffalo on Thursday. Yep. You just watch them, I guess, beat your provincial rival in the Oilers, and you got to show that you're the team to beat, I guess, when you come to Alberta now. So.
Oh, well, it was fun having you on the show again, Nate, and we'll hopefully get to talk soon. And definitely we'll be talking on Twitter. You can find Nate at TaytonHomas.com. There we go. I got it on the screen again. I had it on there. So, and you can also check them out on the Hockey Podcast Network, doing the Quack Report, following the Anaheim Ducks. They do a great job with that show. Make sure you check that out. Good talking with you, Nate. Always fun talking Flames hockey, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on again, Brad.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Another big week for the Flames as, we kick off a big battle Thursday night. Buffalo comes to town to the Saddle Dome. Buffalo currently 2-1-0, and the first of two meetings between the two teams. Calgary will play in Buffalo on February 11th. Buffalo coming off a big win against Edmonton on Tuesday night. And, it should be an interesting test. Buffalo kind of a doormat of the league for a long time now with a couple young guys, and I'm looking forward to watching because I haven't spent a lot of time watching the Buffalo Sabres of late. Saturday night, another Hockey Night in Canada battle as the Carolina Hurricanes, a team that's been predicted by many to be making a deep run towards the Stanley Cup this year. Carolina currently undefeated, same as Calgary, 3-0-0. First of two meetings, Calgary will head to Carolina on November 26th. And that's an afternoon game. I do know that. And Carolina was going to be playing Thursday night in Edmonton. So we're going to get them coming off a big game against the Edmonton Oilers. Tuesday, Pittsburgh comes to town. Pittsburgh currently 2-0-1, first of two meetings. Calgary will head to Pittsburgh November 23rd. Pittsburgh is in Columbus on Saturday, Edmonton on Monday. So we're going to get them on the second game of the back-to-back, which is always nice when you can get that going in your way rather than the other way. So some big games coming up. Things are going good in Calgary, and couldn't ask for better. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We are back next week, and Kyle Lewis will be back in studio, which is nice. It was nice to catch up with him today while he was in Ottawa, but going to be good to have him back in the studio next week. Thanks for joining us, and also a thanks to Nate Thomas for joining the show this week, because we had a big show this week. Get to know us on Twitter. You can find me at Brad Brood. Kyle, you can find him at VanLewis14. We always like talking Flames hockey with Flames fans. FlamesUnfiltered.com is your spot for Flames news, back episodes, and everything you need to know with the podcast. We're back next week. Have a good week, Flames fans, and enjoy the big games coming up. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And co-host Kyle Lewis on Twitter at VanLewis14. If you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.